I guess I want to go back to last week. When did you find out that everything was essentially being canceled? Take me through some of the timeline with that and how you let your players know and what the reaction was like.
We didn't officially know until we were about to meet for practice on Thursday. It was around 4:15 p.m. On Thursday. So, you know, we played our ECAC championship on Sunday. We gave them Monday and Tuesday off, came back for practice on Wednesday. And I think it was Wednesday night, or maybe it was Tuesday night, when they started canceling the NBA basketball games. And then it looked like the NHL was going to follow suit and a bunch of others. And then it seemed like that's when the snowball really started rolling at that point. But we had been going back and forth with our administration, just trying to find out, you know, whether we were going to play our NCAA tournament game. And it appeared that we were going to play with no fans. So we proceeded as normal, had practice Wednesday night. We were planning a team meeting at 4:30 on Thursday, and then we're about to go on the ice at 5:30. And then about 4:15, our administration came into us and came into our office and said, we're not going to play the game anymore. And so that was kind of when it hit us. And so we had about 5 minutes to kind of compose ourselves. And our team was going to be here at 4:30 to meet anyway, and met with the team at that point. And I think at that point, social media had already put it out there, or the NCAA had put it out there officially, that the NCAA tournaments for all winter sports were canceled. And so they already knew before we walked into the room. So we had a meeting, and then we actually went out and practiced. The girls wanted to go out on the ice and have one final practice before everybody started to go their different ways.
What was the toughest part of all of that, in having that meeting and having practice?
Well, you know, I've been coaching here for 15 years, and we've never gone undefeated in the ECAC regular season. We've never been ranked number one going into the tournament. And the players and the coaching staff felt like this was our opportunity. And, you know, after losing in overtime on the ECAC championship game, it felt like we had a second chance to go after the big prize, the NCAA championship. And then that got pulled out from under us. So it was pretty devastating at first, but, you know, I told the team, you have to look back at, you know, all the things that we were able to accomplish and all the things that we were able to participate in throughout the year. We were able to have, you know, one of the best regular seasons that Cornell's ever had. We were able to participate in the ECAC championship and have those moments and have those memories, even though it didn't end the way we wanted. We were still fortunate enough to be able to play for, you know, most of our season and be able to accomplish the things that we accomplished, and taking solace in that. And you know, I felt for the spring sports that didn't even get to have their season, didn't even get to have those moments or have those memories that we were able to participate in and have. And so, you know, it's an understanding that a big part of it is, you know, life lessons that we try to, you know, learn through sports.
Right.
And for our young players, understanding that there are going to be a lot of larger things in their life that are going to be even harder to cope with, and understand that this, you know, is just a small blip on their lifetime, and that, you know, when those moments come down the road, that they'll be able to better handle those adverse moments in their lives.
We're chatting with Doug Darragh, head coach of the Cornell women's hockey team here on BTL. Of course, the Big Red season cut short because of coronavirus, much like the entire sports scene has been just wiped away for the foreseeable future. I want to go back to last week one more time because, you know, the Ivy League essentially announced that all sports would be canceled. There would be no spring sports season. And then in the press release, it specifically said that essentially each institution could decide what would happen with their winter sports teams that are in the postseason. I'm wondering if you all had Andy Noel's blessing to essentially continue, because obviously the likes of Harvard and Yale, they decided not to pursue postseason play at the time when there was still going to be a postseason. Did Andy bring anything up like that? Was he okay with you guys and the women taking the ice for the regional game?
Can't remember the exact timeline. I know when the Ivy first decided to cancel the spring sports, we were kind of waiting to see, because we were no longer, you know, for the men, they were in the ECAC tournament. Right. So they were kind of hanging on, you know, what's the ECAC going to do, and waiting to see, you know, what was going to happen there. For our spring sports, obviously, when they, the Ivies said that they were no longer going to have their spring season, then that affected them. For the men, they were preparing for the ECAC tournament, so they were waiting to hear what the ECAC was going to say, and then the ECAC canceled their tournament.
Yeah.
For us, we were, you know, through the Ivy League season, we were through the ECAC season. We only had 2 weekends left, and which would have been just the NCAA championships. So for us, we were waiting to hear what the NCAA was going to say. So, and, you know, Andy was also waiting, I think, to see how things were going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't really sure one way or the other whether, you know, at first, the first indication was, and I think the first thing that went out was that we were going to play with no fans. But then, but they also cautioned us that this can change hour by hour, minute by minute, day by day. And so they said, you know, right now, at the start of the week, they said, we're looking at playing the game, but we're not going to have any fans. And so that's what we proceeded with at first. But Andy and Anita also told us that this could change any minute, this could change any hour. So, you know, and they had a ton of other things going on. So I was just, you know, I checked in with them every once in a while to see if anything was new was happening. And then, you know, in the end, obviously they decided that, and the NCAA also decided that they weren't going to have their championships.
Doug Darrow, head coach of the Cornell women's hockey team, our guest here on BTL. When you reflect on the season and kind of look back, you had 6 players who finished the year with at least 20 points. You had a junior goaltender in Lindsey Browning who was absolutely brilliant. Was this a national championship winning team, you think?
Certainly. We had as good a chance as anybody. Yeah. I mean, you know, you look at our season, I mean, we only lost 1 game in regular time. So, you know, the loss in the ECAC championship was in overtime. So, you know, so you look back at that and you think, okay. And, you know, we played a lot of the best teams in the country and throughout the year too. So, you know, Ohio State won the West. We had split the 2 games that we had with them, and that was in their home rink, you know, and gone undefeated in the ECAC against, you know, some of the teams that were also in the top 10, and Harvard, Quinnipiac, Clarkson and Princeton were all on the top 10 in the country. So, you know, obviously we don't know, and I don't want to say, oh yeah, we were definitely going to win the NCAA tournament. That's, you know, obviously I'm sure there's all 8 teams that were in the final 8 for the NCAA tournament probably all thought that. If they didn't, then, you know, they wouldn't be in the tournament. So, but certainly it was a team that I felt could win the NCAA championship. And, you know, I think a team that had the best chance that we've had in a long time of winning the NCAA tournament. So, you know, it couldn't have been worse timing for Cornell hockey in general, both on the men's and women's side of things.
What are you going to remember most about the senior class who brought this program to another level? Obviously, they've contributed so much during their time, but this year especially, to be able to be number one in the country, win the conference regular season title, it's almost like they've catapulted Cornell women's hockey to a new level.
Yeah, I felt so bad for the senior class because, you know, as we just said, you know, never gone undefeated in the regular season.
Yeah.
And we've had some, as you know, people that have followed Cornell hockey, we've had some great teams over the last
very good teams,
you know, 15 years yeah. here, and a number of unbelievable players and I could be wrong on this. You could probably check the history, but I do not think that we've ever finished the season and been ranked number one going into the NCAA tournament. I believe the best we had ever finished wow. going into the tournament was number two.
Wow.
So, you know, obviously, you know, if you just look at the numbers, our goals against in the ECAC this year, I think maybe we gave up 13. Maybe I could be wrong on that too. But, you know, so we were definitely one of the strongest teams defensively that, you know, we've ever seen. And as you just mentioned, had tremendous depth offensively. So, you know, for this senior class, I think it's tough for them to really take any joy or solace right now after, you know, being defeated in overtime in the ECAC championship game and then getting ready to go after the big prize, the NCAA championship, and then not having that opportunity and that, for that to be pulled out from under them, certainly, you know, was very, very difficult for them. But this class, yes, you know, tremendous character, tremendous skill set, tremendous leadership. You know, I think what they brought, you know, for our young players when they came in to this season, and, you know, you've got, you know, national team players and some of the best players in the NCAA in this class. And the thing about them is that they're also the hardest working players on the team. And so anybody who comes in and thinks that, you know, they're just going to go about their business the way they did in junior quickly realizes that, hey, like here's Micah Zandi Hart and Kristen O'Neill and Jamie Verbenay and so on down the line, some of the best players in the country. And they're also the hardest working players on the team. You know, I've also got to work at that level. And so, so their leadership, their character, you know, no matter, you know, no offense to the freshman class we're bringing in, but no matter who we brought in, there was no replacing this class.
Yeah.
And it's just devastating that, that they didn't get a chance to at least pursue the national championship.
Doug, I'll let you run after this note, but obviously a lot of unknown for how special this team is, obviously with the goal of trying to win a national title being taken away from you. But can you take at least a little bit of solace in knowing that you guys were in some unprecedented territory, not just you and the women's team, but the men's program as well, that you had the best hockey teams in the entire country? Is that something that is going to take a little bit of time to really appreciate and embrace, considering how everything has went down? Because when you take a step back, you know, it's remarkable that both teams were able to essentially finish the season as the top teams in the country.
Yeah, it's difficult in sport at the very end when you don't, you know, get a chance to win the championship to feel good about it.
Yeah.
But that was something that I tried to get across to the team, that, you know, recognizing all the great things that they were able to accomplish through the course of the season. And what really I admired about this group was the consistency. And I think that's very difficult in the length of our season and in our sport to have that consistency from start to finish. And that was something that, you know, we've had, like I said, a lot of great teams, but none have been able to do the things that we were able to do through the course of this year on the consistent basis that this group did. And I think that's a testament to the closeness of this team, yeah. And the bonds that this team shared. And you saw it when you talked about the depth, like when one player or, you know, one line or D pairing, whatever it is, was having an off night, somebody else was stepping up for them to fill that void. And that's very difficult to achieve those things and be able to have that level on a consistent basis through the course of a year. And I think, you know, over time, we'll recognize that. But, you know, certainly right now it feels a little bit hollow.
Yeah, I'd believe it. I'd believe it. Doug, I wish we were talking on some happier terms and everything like that, but I really do appreciate the time during all of this. And like you said, I mean, I'm sure it stinks now, but there's a lot to be proud of for you and the team this season. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes, and I know we'll be chatting with you soon, okay?
Thanks a lot, Nick. Thanks for having me.